I'm going to ask Trevor and Dan to come up. They're well prepped. And Matthew's going to narrate from the back. So let's just hear of these two parallel stories.
A story of peace at Christmas. Many stories have emerged from the First World War, tales of heroism, loss, and sacrifice. But perhaps the most remarkable of all is the story of what happened at Christmas 100 years ago.
December 1914, as the war was 6 months old. As the autumn rains begin, the opposing sides dig it for the winter. Soldiers regain themselves to spending Christmas in the trenches.
Centuries before and thousands of miles away, another group of men were out in the fields at night.
That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep.
Christmas Eve, and the British troops are struck by a subtle and beautiful sight. Hundreds of tiny lights imitating the enemy trenches. The Germans are putting up Christmas trees.
Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among the shepherds, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Saviour, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today."
As the guns fell silent, there's a new sound on the wind. From across no man's land came the sound of singing, "Silent night, holy night." The opposing side seemed back into the darkness, trading verses, harmonizing with the enemy.
Suddenly, a great army of heaven's angels appeared, with the angel singing praises to God.
As Christmas morning, one by one, men dare to put their hands above the parapet, then stand on it. Now we're advancing towards the enemy, open hands outstretched. Soon no man's land is full of officers and men of both sides, shaking hands, talking, exchanging souvenirs.
Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased.
Someone brings out a ball. Hats and coats are thrown down, with dozens on either side. In between, the shell craters of shambolic game of football breaks out.
When the angels returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in a manger.
The following morning, the order has came through to resume firing. The men refuse or shoot at the sky. But then an artillery starts up. The shells began to fall. Christmas truce is gone. Nothing but a hopeful memory preserved in the letters and diaries.
After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished.
Both the Christmas truce and the first Christmas story were breakthroughs of peace. The 1914 ceasefire could not last, but the peace that God sent to us in Jesus endures. The baby born on that silent night so long ago went on to model a life of love and forgiveness through his actions and teachings. Through his death and resurrection, he reconciled us to God.
We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every situation.
Thank you.
Hang on, Dan.
And Trevor.
Here you go. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Matt, you'll have to take that one later. Okay, that's what I'm going to Luke 2:8-14 says this. It says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and laying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.'" As I said, today we're remembering two remarkable events. Now, the Christmas truce of 1914 wasn't organized. Nobody sat down and negotiated it. Instead, it was a spontaneous act, and it was replicated in dozens of areas along those trenches. And each truce depended on an ordinary soldier taking a chance, trusting themselves to the enemy. They had to believe that when they said they wouldn't shoot, they would be true to their word. They had to believe that the men that were trying to kill them yesterday wouldn't kill them today. And then they had to do something incredibly brave and bold, something that would be against all their instincts at that time, something that would break all the rules of trench warfare. They had to stand up and put their head above the parapet. If there was going to be peace, someone was going to have to put their life on the line. And one by one, in each of those many trenches, somebody had to make the first move. Sometimes it was a German soldier, sometimes it was an English soldier. They each signaled their intent as best they could, whether it was a white hanky, raising their hands, waving, or holding their hat, their helmet in front of them. And they brought gifts, offering of cigarettes, beer, jam, whatever luxuries were to hand. But these were just ordinary men. Here's some accounts. One such man was Chaplain Adams, who ignored his commanding officer and approached the German lines, trusting that his clerical collar, I knew they'd be good for something, would identify him. He organized a joint burial ceremony for the dead in no man's land. In another part of the line, three German soldiers announced their intentions by rolling out a barrel of beer as a peace offering. These were very risky things to do, and not every peaceful advance was reciprocated. Frank Collins, a 39-year-old postman, was shot while approaching the Germans' lines with woodbines to give away. And there was no truce in that section. One group found themselves chasing rabbits together and sharing the spoils. In another section, a pig was roasted in no man's land, and lunch was served. A German soldier who had been in a circus set up a table and performed juggling tricks for a crowd of onlookers. Yet it is the football that has gone down in legend. But there was no organized match played in no man's land. Instead, there are numerous eyewitness accounts of shambolic kickabouts. Hats and coats were thrown down for goals. Sometimes there was a ball, sometimes not. One game used an empty ration tin. Wouldn't like to have headed that at all, but here we go. In some cases, the Germans watched an English play, and in a few instances, the sides played each other. Many years after the war, 19-year-old Ernie Williams wrote about the game he stumbled into. "There was no referee, no score, no tally at all. It was simply a melee. Nothing like the football you see on the television. It's little wonder it was a mess. The ground was frozen and pitted with craters, and the flat bits that remained were planted with cabbages. It was hardly 11 a side. I should think there was about a couple of hundred taking part, remembered Williams. They were all different, these peacemakers that dared to step out. But they also had a couple of things in common. First, they all believed in the possibility of peace. And secondly, for each of them, their hope of peace was stronger than their fear of death. I mean, can you just imagine sticking your head above that parapet and then walking out? Jesus has a special blessing for such people. He says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." Sons of God because in risking everything for peace, they were talking about Christ and God himself. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. And Paul tells the Corinthian church, the God of the Bible is the one who makes peace, who loves those who hate him, who puts himself at the mercy of those who would kill him. And this is what God was doing that first Christmas. This is what this day is all about. When he entered into our world as a helpless baby, he was taking a first step towards us into no man's land, as it were, of our world, our broken world, risking everything on the possibility of faith. And as we know, it was to cost Jesus everything. It cost him his life. But in his death and resurrection, the truce was sealed. Not just for a day, not just a temporary window on a Christmas morning in 1914. The truce was sealed. This was a new start. This was an eternal peace. Because of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. Now, as the news headline will verify and confirm, that's a work in progress. We only have to think of this week and the terrible accident that happened in that Glasgow High Street. Ours is not a peaceful world. Ours is not a quiet world, not yet. That's why the Bible calls each of us to follow in Jesus' footsteps and be peacemakers ourselves. To be those willing to step out in hope, in faith. Yes, it may cost us, and sometimes the offer of peace will be rejected. But we can be strong in this, that the truce has already been won. Because Jesus has gone ahead of us. The ground is ours to claim in his name. The angels knew it well. It's why they sing. And it's now why we're going to stand and sing Silent Night.
Silent Night. Heaven afar.
like to be seated? Okay. As followers of the Prince of Peace, whose birth we celebrate today, we are called to peace, called to cross the boundaries that divide us and reach out in friendship. Now, some of you know what this is. Some of you don't. The church isn't getting Wi-Fi. It's nothing to do with that, okay? So, but this is just to be a symbol of barbed wire. Now, Richard Smith is our treasurer, he's a director, he's also a farmer. When I was telling him about this, he offered me real barbed wire. And then we got talking, we got up to electrified barbed wire. And we thought, perhaps that's a bit too much for a Christmas morning. So, we don't want to impale you, we want to encourage you. And in a moment, I'm going to invite you to cross, symbolically, the barbed wire in friendship and in peace. There are no enemies here today. Well, I hope not, anyway. But as a symbol of the Lord's calling to us in being peacemakers and in remembering that truce of 1914, I want you to be brave, not shy, and stick your feet above the parapet, as it were, and cross over. You're going into no man's isle, not no man's land, okay? And you're just going to greet each other in peace and friendship. There'll be no music, there'll be no key, you just go and greet each other. I was trying to make that rhyme, but I couldn't think of something to end it. So, if you'd just like to go and say hello, greet them, wish them a very happy Christmas, and say hello. Okay, if you've greeted, if you'd like to return to your seats. I should use some words that will bring it back to order. Turkey, overdone, if you don't get a move on. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, now, to celebrate this peace and this new friendship, I thought we'd have a game of football. Yeah, Dan's eyes light up there, yeah. But then I thought about that and I thought, no, perhaps we better not go for football. But we can still have something to celebrate this newfound friendship. So I would like two volunteers from each side. Now, you're volunteering not knowing what you're going to be doing. Fumi, well done, Fumi. We want another person from this side, and we still need two who haven't stuck their heads above the parapet yet, from this side. Thank you, Amy. Well done, Wendy. Well done, Bill. Okay. I'd like you to stand behind these plates. Now, quite simply, all you're going to do is draw a picture from me from instructions I give you. That's fine, isn't it? No, hang on. The plates will be on top of your head while you're drawing. That's the only slight of it. So, if you'd like to position yourselves, if you'd like to get your plates ready and your pens, you'll have to hold with one hand and draw with the other. And then I'm just going to give you a few simple things to draw. Are we ready? Are we positioned? Okay. Firstly, I'd like you to draw a line for a floor. Yeah. Yeah, that's simple, isn't it? All right, now draw a Christmas tree on your floor. And you can add decorations if you feel like. You can even draw a star on top of your tree. Now, are we all done on that part? I'll wait for you all. Okay. Let's just, should we crank it up a bit? Now I'd like you to draw just a little simple fireplace with a mantle.
Okay.
Don't worry, I've got paracetamols for after. You'll be okay. All right. And then finally, I'm going to keep it on. I'd like you to draw a little present below the tree. Oh, no, I'll tell you one more thing after that. Let's put a little stocking hanging down from the mantle. Yeah. So all the presents can go into that. Okay. Are we all done? Okay. Right. If you'd like to take down your plate and just hold it in front of you and just show people what you've drawn. Oh, you can't see. Okay. Well, you can shut up. Right. All right. Now, can you see? Now you can, oh, yes. Now, you're going to mark yourselves now, okay? So, and it's just points. My lovely assistant, Jacqueline, is going to take your markings down. So, 2 points. You just put your hand up. 2 points if your tree touches the floor. Well done, Fumi. Okay. 2 points if your stocking is touching your mantle. Okay. 1 point if your star touches your tree. Oh. Oh, no, it's going to be touching over there. 1 point for every Christmas ornament ball that is on your tree or decoration. So if you add them up, yeah, that will count, isn't it? So, Bill? None.
I've got one.
Bill's got one. Fumi's got three. Amy? One. Wendy? Oh, three. 1 point if your fireplace doesn't touch the tree, because it's a fire hazard if it does. Has anyone got that? Oh, well, oh, that's very good. 1 point if you actually drew something decorative on your stocking, or put something cute like a tiny kitten peeking out. No? Okay. We didn't get that far then. Okay. Jacqueline, would you like to add up? And then divide by 6 and multiply by 10 and then take away by 4. Let's see what we've got. Do we have one winner? And who is that winner, please? Wendy, well. Well done, Wendy. You can enjoy those later. Thank you. Well, because you've all been such good sports, you can all, we all share with your new friends.
Now,
you can keep the plate if you want to. I want the pens back, but you can keep the plate. Thank you. You can have your Christmas dinner served up on it. Okay. That's a little something you can try with the china later. And a permanent marker pen, and then see if the dishwasher takes it off. Okay. All right, let's stand and let's sing our final carol. Yeah.
The words to this carol are really fantastic as you get into them. So, I encourage you to sing them and just think through as you worship our Father with them.
In the bleak midwinter, frosty wind made moan. Stood hard as iron, wrought
utter like a stone. Snow had fallen, snow, snow, snow on snow. In the bleak midwinter, long ago. A god heaven cannot hold him, nor earth sustain. Heaven and earth shall flee away when he comes to reign. In the bleak midwinter, a stable place suffice. The Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ. Angels and archangels may have gathered there. Cherubim and seraphim throng the air. But as worship the beloved with a kiss. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would play my part. What can I give him? Give my heart. Okay,
if you'd like to be seated, let's just pray. Now, you can look at the words on the screen and I'll read them, or you can close your eyes, whichever you wish to do. As we remember the peace that arose in the most unlikely of places 100 years ago, we lift up places still dominated by conflict before you today, Lord, where the foundations of our world are shaking. Remind us of the strength of your love. Where there are tears of grief, remind us that you share in our lament and heartbreak. Where hostilities dominate the landscape, remind us of the beauty of respecting and listening to one another. Where darkness and despair seem to prevail, remind us that Jesus is the light of the world. And as we bring these prayers for peace to you, O God, remind us that we are your hands and your feet in your world. And so touch us to choose peace, and so teach us to choose peace in our own lives, to choose forgiveness and love today, this Christmas, and every day beyond that. Amen. And just as we're finishing, and just before the busyness perhaps of the day takes over, I just want us to take a few minutes to reflect through a song called Mary, Did You Know, about what this day is truly all about.
Baby boy would one day walk on dark. baby boy would save our sons and daughters. Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver.
Now, if you eat too much today, which I'm sure many of us won't or will, we will be going on a Boxing Day walk. We'll be leaving here by cars tomorrow at 10:30, and we do end up, not in our cars, but walking at the Barley Mow in Milford. So please, you're free to join us. We'll be leaving here at 10:30. And then just to say, this Sunday, if you're free, come and be inspired. And I would say be inspired and encouraged. I've watched this, and I'd actually bring tissues as well. But be inspired and encouraged that your faith will grow through a film on the work and life of Heidi Baker. She's been described as a modern-day Mother Teresa, and I can understand that. She's surrendered her life to God and has seen the nation of Mozambique transformed. And along with her husband, Roland, she actually shows what love in action is all about, which is very much on the heart of us as a church, as a people, as a family. And through God's presence, she has brought restoration, healing, and hope to some of the darkest places. So come and be inspired. That's on Sunday. We'll have a little table set out with sweeties, so you can munch as you watch on that. And popcorn now. Who said popcorn? We can have popcorn. You can bring popcorn, but yeah, we could do popcorn, actually. That might be an idea. We'll just get the Hoover ready, that's all. Okay. A lot of what I've used this morning is being produced by Scripture Gift Mission, and they've produced these little booklets called Silent Night, which parallels that Christmas Day truce of 1914 in the football match and the birth of Jesus. So I'm going to ask someone, would they stand at the door and make sure all these copies go Trevor, would you like to there's another pack there if you need them. But everyone can have one, and they're just something for you to keep. But it just leaves me to wish you a happy Christmas and a new year, and may you know the peace of our Lord Jesus in and throughout 2015. And may it be an exciting year for you in all that he has for you and uses you for. Amen.